You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
You know, I started teaching last week, well, actually a couple weeks ago, on words, on the importance of your mouth, what you say. And you might remember we went over to Psalms 1, and actually we started out in Matthew 12, where Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And the New Living Translation says, your heart determines what you say. And really, that's where your choice comes in. Your choice comes in way before you start talking. Your choices have already gone into play. You choose what you hear. You choose who you hang around with. You choose what you watch, what you see, what you listen to. And that gets inside of you. Now, once all that gets inside of you, then your heart will decide what you say. That's why Jesus said, how can you, being evil, speak good things, when he was talking to the Pharisees? They couldn't just try to start talking better. They had so much junk in them, they couldn't help but speak junk. You know, that's why you and I need to get saved. Hallelujah. Get born again and know Jesus. And that's why we need to get the Word of God in us. Because if we'll do that part, that's where our free will comes in, really. Our choices are already made long before we start talking. We start talking on the basis of what we've heard in the past and what we've been listening to and what we've been putting inside of us. That's like going up to a farmer as he's harvesting, you know, if he's harvesting yellow squash or harvesting wheat or harvesting corn or harvesting watermelons, and walking up to him and questioning him, why is he harvesting watermelons, you know? And he said, well, that's because that's what I planted. He doesn't choose what he harvests when harvest time comes. He chooses what he harvests when he plants. You listen to me now? Okay, because so if you just say, today I'm just going to start talking right. Well, no, you're going to have to start listening first. You got to plant something in you first if you're ever going to control your tongue, if you're going to control what you say and be more positive and be more scriptural and talk more like God's in control, that he can move in your life, that he can do some things. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to spend some time planting that in you. Amen? And that's really where your free will comes in. I don't just freely say good things. I do choose what I say, but what I say has already been determined by what I've been hearing. I chose what I'm saying today way back when I started reading, way back when I started listening. Are you with me? I made that choice before I started speaking. So if you want to start saying something good instead of something bad, if you want to get out of that mess you're in, are you with me? Then your heart determines what you say. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we talked about that verse in Matthew 12:20-34. And then we went over to Psalms 1, where it just tells us the principle plainly. It says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight, this blessed man, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth its fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, glory. So how to prosper? How do I speak abundance and prosperity in my life? Well, quit hanging around sinners, scornful, ungodly. Are you with me? Start hanging around the Word. In his Word, does he meditate day and night? And then we took that word apart, the word meditate. This is something that we're often confused about in this age we live in. Most people, when you think of meditate, you can even look it up most dictionaries. The word meditate in most people's minds means to think about something or to spend a lot of time thinking about it. But it doesn't have much to do with the tongue, what you say. Actually, in Hebrew, that word meditate is hagah. And that word is translated speak and utter. Are you with me? Many cases. In fact, it means to talk to oneself. Literally, it means to speaking or uttering or muttering to oneself for the removal of a burden, is what it means. I love that. Like Popeye. You know how Popeye used to talk to himself all the time? You ever seen the old black and white Popeye cartoons? Okay, two of y'all. I know better than that. But anyway, some of the best parts of Popeye was when he was talking to himself, you know. Some of the things he would say, you know, and he'd start talking to himself. And it wouldn't be real loud, but you could hear it. You know, he had all these little phrases and things he'd say. But that's meditation in the biblical sense. In the biblical sense, meditating is talking to yourself, the Word. Meditate in the Word day and night. Speak it to yourself. Because what you're saying about yourself is determining the direction of your life. It's determining success in your life or failure in life. What you say about yourself and about your children, about your job, about your church, and on and on and on and on. That's why God says one of the seven abominations that he mentions in Proverbs is he that sows discord among the brethren. Because you can poison people's mind by what you say. Isn't that true? And so and you can lift them and help them, or you can tear down or cut them down. Words are powerful things. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if you want victory in your life, well, if you want to prosper wherever you go, Psalms 1 tells you how to do it. Speak the word. Not just to others, but to yourself. You know, we're sometimes good at saying it around other people, but when we get by ourselves, boy, we start talking down about ourselves, about life, about everything's going bad, and this is not working. Why can't I get this right? Why is everybody always picking on me? Charlie Brown, come on. You know, we think confession and saying the word is for other people, for us to say around other people. Actually, it's for us to say when we're by ourselves. Yeah. It's what we say in the closet that God hears. It's what when we pray in the closet, God sees it. When we give in secret, God sees it. When you confess the word by yourself, when it's just you and the Lord, that's what he pays attention to. And that's what gets in your heart. That's why you need to start saying, you know what, I am a child of God. God is in me, and greater is he is in me than he is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus said, in the world I have tribulation, in me I have peace. I have peace. So I'm not going to put up with depression. I'm not going to put up with that. I'm not going to take that. I'm not going to take that cloud that's trying to roll in over my life. I can feel it coming on. I'm wanting to put the blues music on right now, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stop it right there. Stop it right there. We're not turning the lights out. We're not crawling in a hole somewhere. I am a child of the living God, and he is my peace, and thou wilt be perfect peace is mine to stay on thee. Isaiah 26:3. And that's me. Because I trust in him, it goes on to say. And I start saying that to myself, and I start getting myself out of a hole. Hallelujah. Are you with me? That's when you begin to prosper. When you start saying the right thing. And you know the effect it has on other people. Come on, your words can tear them down or lift them up. You know, I was meditating on a song. It's actually a contemporary Christian song by Hawk Nelson. Some of y'all may not have heard of them, but it's a contemporary group. And they have a song called Words is the name of the song. And I'm not going to play the song, but I want to read some of his lyrics to it. I thought it was so good. It starts out and says, they've made me feel like a prisoner. They've made me feel set free. They've made me feel like a criminal. They made me feel like a king. They lifted my heart to places I'd never been, and they dragged me down back to where I began. Words can build you up, and words can break you down. Start a fire in your heart, or put it out. Let my words, and the chorus goes, let my words be life, and let my words be truth. I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you. You can heal the heartache, speak over the fear. God, your voice is the only thing we need to hear. And then he goes, words can build us up, words can break us down, start a fire in our hearts, or it can put it out. Man, it's so true, isn't it? I mean, because words are that way. The old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me. That's the biggest lie I ever told. Oh, come on, you guys. There's guys 50 and 60 and 70 years old still thinking about things their daddy said or the mama said. People have said that to hurt them and never let it go. Now, I'm saying you can let it go. You don't need to hold on to it. But you remember those kinds of things. You remember those words that were encouraged you. You remember those words that were critical of you. They're like echoes in your head. You need to come against those things and kill those things in Jesus' name and start saying what God says about you. Amen? Hallelujah. I hadn't always said the right thing, you know. I wish I could take it all back, but it's all out there now. Man, words are powerful things. You can't pull them back. You can ask God to forgive you and hope you can make it up with people that you've offended, but words are, man, they cut. They heal. They lift. They tear down. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, you need to ask yourself, we went from there to Joshua. You need to ask yourself, what are you saying about your life? What are you saying about your business? Here's Joshua. He is the commander-in-chief of the armies of Israel. Moses has died. This is Joshua, the first chapter. In fact, God visited Joshua and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you go, and through you, I'm on the inheritance of all the children of Israel. We're going to inherit all the land of Israel through you. That's what he says. And he gives them the boundary lines. He says, you know, from Dan to Beersheba, the East Sea to Dead Sea and so on. I've given all this to you. Everywhere you put the sole of your foot, that have I given to you. That's insightful. Because all the promises of God, none of them are any good for you unless you put your foot on them. Hello. You got to be aggressive here. You got to go forward. You know, don't just hold ground. Let's take ground. We need to take ground because all the ground's God's anyway. The devil stole it all, and here we are. We need to start taking it back. Take back that peace he stole from you. Take back that joy he took away from you. Are you with me? Take back that marriage. Take back that purpose in life. Take back that prosperity. Take it back. Come on. The devil stole. He steals, kills, destroys. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Let's go forward, not backwards. In fact, we're not living in the past. All those words that hurt in the past, they're gone. It's over. I can't unscramble eggs. I can't undo what's done, but I can sure go forward. And you're never going to go forward with the weight and the anchor and the chain of the past hanging on to you. All those things people did and people, all that bitterness and all that let it go. Shake it off. Shake it off. Are you with me? Let's go forward. I don't want to hold ground. I want to go forward. I don't want to stay where I am. Here's a curse that you will never go anywhere and never go any further than you are right now, that you will always stay where you are. That's a curse. You don't want to stay where you are. I'm not talking about leaving your marriage or leaving the church, okay? I'm talking about spiritually, where are you? I think you ought to be progressing and growing in God. You ought to be getting closer to Jesus. You ought to take this thing higher, hallelujah. Why not? We got one shot at this deal. Let's give it all we got, amen? Come on. I mean, life is short. The longer I live, the more I realize that it's just shorter and shorter. I want to make a mark for God. I want to do something for Jesus. I want to help people and encourage people and lead people to the Lord. You know, I was so humbled, I guess you'd say, at the meeting just the other night, Friday night, the men's meeting I did at Center. I was standing there, and it was really a neat little area. They had a little pit, looked like, with handrails around it, wrought iron handrails. This place had really been fixed up. It was a big rock fireplace behind me. Everybody was kind of up above me, and it wasn't built for an amphitheater, but it kind of looked that way in a miniature sense, you know. And I was looking up at all these people, and of course Pastor Don got up and introduced me and was very gracious, you know, talked about how I'd led him to the Lord. And I was just real humbled by just that, standing there thinking about this church and that I had witnessed to Don all those years back, you know. And because of that, because I'd made that stand, you know, there's a man full of the Holy Ghost with the call of God on his life. That's got a great church in Center, Texas, and my mother goes there, and my niece and my nephew go there, and different ones of my relatives have gone through there, and some of my cousins go there, and I'm looking around some people that I actually knew in the past, you know, and I was thinking about different people there that I'd ministered to and witnessed to, and thought about those are the things that count. Those are the things that have eternal value, is when you do something for the Lord, when you minister to someone, and it may not seem like that big a deal. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, here we prayed for Brenda's uncle the other day in the hospital, in the waiting room. Her mama said, you know, Michael, Brenda, come over here. I want you to pray for Marlon's, his name. And we just prayed for him like we would anybody, you know, laid hands on him in Jesus' name and said all the scriptures that the Bible says to do and believe that he'd be healed in Jesus' name. He was in tremendous pain. I wasn't necessarily thinking about that mass that was on his the colon that he had to go in for the next day or two and find out about. I was just praying for healing on his body and the pain would go away because he could tell he was in a lot of pain. And then we'd go in this weekend and find out that God healed that thing and it's completely gone. You know, and I think we don't think enough of who we are in Christ, and we don't think enough of what impact it has when we pray for people and when we tell people about the Lord and when we live for Jesus. Listen, we need to live for God, and we need to let our words be words of encouragement and lifting. We need to tell people they can make it. We need to tell people they can go over, not under. We need to tell them they have a future and they have a hope. Hallelujah. that is not hopeless. You're not spinning your wheels. If you're living for God, you're making a difference. You're making a mark. Amen. You don't have any idea how many people you're influencing and touching just by living for God, talking about the Lord, and giving people hope and help from the Scripture. Hallelujah. Here's Joshua. I digress, but here's Joshua, and God's just getting Joshua ready to take the land. He's getting him ready to win. He's getting him ready to take city after city and people after people and Hittites and Canaanites and Jebusites and Perizzites, and, you know, they're all sitting on their land. They're just he's giving them a strategy and a plan on how to do that. How do you go out and win? How did they do that? How did they take the walls of Jericho? How did they cross the river Jordan by dry land? How did they take the city of Ai and city after city after? How did they do that? Well, they did that by getting their mouth straight, by getting what they said right. It's interesting that God's strategy was real simple. It wasn't complicated. He told Joshua, he said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then you will have good success." Then you will prosper, and then you'll have good success. And he goes on in the ninth verse, that was the eighth verse, Joshua 1. And he tells them, "Have I commanded you, be strong and of good courage, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." How would you like to have good success and prosper in your life? Man, I'd love to. I want to. I want to keep succeeding. I don't want to go under. I've been under. I've been over. Over's better. Amen. I've been successful. I failed at some things too, but success is better. No doubt about it. Well, I'm going to have to get my lip lined out. I'm going to have to start saying what God says. I'm going to have to get his word in me. This book of the law should not depart out of my mouth. It's got to be in my mouth. And when something rises up or something wrong begins to come into my mind about my life or my family or my business or my church or whatever the case may be, I need to stop and say, wait a minute. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says this. I may feel this way, but I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. The doctor's report may say this. Don't you be swayed by doctor's reports. Thank God for doctors. But just because you got an X-ray, hello, just because you got an MRI, you've had a CAT scan or whatever they do, just because you had this physical evidence that says one thing, that's one report, but the Bible here is another one. That's right. And we have to choose whose report we're going to believe. Amen. Are you with me? And I thank God in this, you know, I think about her uncle this week. I mean, they had the report. Come on, they had it right there. The doctor was so shocked by that, he brought them in and showed them and says, "This is it right here. This is what was here last week." He said, "It's not there." He said, "I can't find it. I went from one end to the other. This is clean. Your mass is gone." I mean, it's like he was going, "I don't know what happened, but I want you to know I saw it. It was right here. Look, I want y'all to see it." Like he's having to prove he had something wrong, you know, because it was there. But, hey, God's got another report. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And I remember when Marlon came over to me that waiting room after we prayed, he said, "I want you to know we believe in prayer. I do believe in prayer." Amen. And I said, "Well, that's what it's going to take is believing in prayer. It's believing it." And what a miracle. Praise God. So here we are. What's God saying to us? Does God want us to take the promised land? I believe he does. I believe there's a lot of promises out there just waiting on you and I to step out on. And it's not a matter of being greedy. It's not a matter of being, "Oh, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me." No, I want to be a blessing. And if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to succeed. If I stay poor, I can't help the poor. If I succeed, I can help the poor. If I stay sick, I can't help the sick. But if I get healed, I can help the sick. Are you with me? If I stay blind, I can't help the blind. Jesus said, "If the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch." Somebody got to get their eyes opened. Someone's got to prosper. Someone's got to have joy. Someone has got to have peace. Someone's got to be positive. Someone's got to believe God if we're ever going to help this suffering, sighing, dying world that we're in. And it might as well be you. Might as well be me. Amen? So the enemies and the obstacles and the attacks that we have of to be depressed, to stay poor, to not go forward, to not to have joy, those obstacles, those enemies, you can plow them down with God's word. you can roll them over, and you can roll right over them. Amen. Just by standing on God's word, by getting it inside of you, by creating a habit of saying the word all the time. Not just around people, but around yourself. You know, what do you say at your house? What do you say when you're driving down the road? What do you say to your wife, and what do you say to your husband? What do you say, you know, when you're not having to keep up your confession? I quit preaching, got to meddling, didn't I? Huh? Well, you know, what do you say about yourself when you look in the mirror? What do you see? What do you, you know? Man, I can't ever get this right. You ought to quit saying that. You ought to start saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Man, I'm so tired of this. I'm so tired of this. Well, hey, get tired of it and start believing God and standing on the word. Get tired enough to say what God says. Get tired enough to quote a verse and quote a scripture and quote a promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You feeling pain? Well, I am healed in Jesus' name. I am healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I am not putting up with this. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment I'll condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Isaiah 54:17 tells us that. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Woo! Good stuff, amen? Amen. So this word, I love it. Haggai, in fact, turn to Psalms 37. Let's just look at this word here. Psalms 37. One thing about these electronic things, I've got this iPad. I love what Pastor Carl Brancic said one time. He said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for my iPad tells me so. But, okay. In Psalms 37, let me get to it. It takes me a little longer to get there because I had to change programs here. And God forbid the internet it goes out. Boy, I'm telling you, we're in trouble then. I'd have to go old school and pick up a Bible somewhere. Yeah, you loan me a copy? I know the verse, but I want to get to something in context here. Psalms 37, y'all found it? Boy, I hate those dead pauses. In verse 30, notice what it says here. I guess that's King James Version. New King James Version. Y'all don't fall asleep on me. Stay with me. In Psalms 37, King James says, the law of God is in his heart, and none of his steps slide. The 30 verse, excuse me. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of God is in his heart, none of his steps slide. Now, because the law is in his heart, obviously what he's speaking out of his mouth is going to be justice, and it's going to be wisdom. But it's interesting here, it says, his tongue talks of justice. Everybody say talks of justice. One translation says speaks, okay? But that word actually is the same word where it says, in his law shall he meditate. The word meditate in Psalms 1, the word meditate in Joshua 1:8, where it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, thou shalt meditate. That's the word speak here. So there's no question here he was talking about the mouth speaking something. Y'all see that? So when you think of Psalms 1, and you all know the verse, I'm going to meditate in the word. Well, what you're saying literally is, I'm going to talk the word. Amen? And when you think of Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, thou shalt meditate in it day and night, that means that you will talk it day and night. And he's talking about your personal time, your personal private life, that you're saying what God says. You know, it'd do no good for you to walk out of here and say, well, that sure was a good service, and then come back next week, but never really apply it, never really do it or say it about yourself. It's more important what you say about yourself than what anybody else says, besides God, obviously. If you never get a hold of what God says, then you will never establish what God says. Do you know that? You know, the Bible says, let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. It says that in a couple of places. Deuteronomy talks about it. It says it in the New Testament. But think about this. How do I establish God's word? I voice it. I speak it. He said it, and then when I say it, that's a second witness. That's exactly what Jesus said. He says, the Father testifies of me, and I testify of myself. And then he said, is it not written in your law, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established? So what Jesus was saying was, I establish what the Father said about me when I say it. They're asking for evidence. He said, well, here's my evidence. God said thus and so, and I say it. And when I say it, I establish it. Oh, that's better preaching. Y'all are amen it. So if you don't ever say the word, you never establish the word in your life. If you never say it, and specifically, Jesus was talking about himself, what he said about himself. So we're talking about what you say about yourself. Well, I can never do that. Yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Well, I just don't know if I'm healed or not. Yes, you are. You are healed by the stripes of Jesus. You need to say, I am healed by Jesus' stripes. God's word says I'm healed, and I say I'm healed. I establish it. Remember when Jesus started his ministry in Luke, the fourth chapter? He'd been in the wilderness, and he was tempted of the devil. And three times the devil came to him, and three times Jesus said, it is written, and the devil left him after that. And it says in the 14th verse of the fourth chapter of Luke, it says he returned in the power of the Spirit. And then it goes on down the 18th verse. This time he'd gone into a synagogue in the city of Capernaum, and he walked in there, and he unrolled the scroll. He didn't have an iPad. He didn't even have a book. Back then they just had scrolls. He actually unrolled a scroll, and it says he found the place where it was written. Man, I love that. That's powerful, isn't it? And specifically, he was looking for where it was written about him. He looked for it, and he found it. Have you looked for and found where it is written about you? Good question. And when you find it, have you declared it? Have you said it? Have you confessed it? Because Jesus did. In fact, he rolled the scroll back and he's found a place where he's written and he said this to the congregation. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, deliverance the captive, cover sight to the blind, heal the brokenhearted, set at liberty them that are bruised. Rolled the scroll back up and he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Well, why was it fulfilled that day? Because that's when he confessed it. That's when he declared it. That's when he put his second witness on it. Yes. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word's established. So, see, sometimes things aren't established in our life because we haven't witnessed it. We haven't declared it. We haven't established it because we haven't said it. Here's how you're going to win, Joshua. This is how you're going to take the land. You're going to take city after city. You're going to take cities bigger than you. You're going to take armies bigger than you. You're going to go into the, you're going to cross the Jordan. You're going to take city by city. And you're going to do it by getting my word in your mouth and letting it not depart from your mouth, but speaking it. And in so doing, you'll establish it. Well, I don't know if I could ever say that. Well, you'll never see it. You won't see it till you say it. Are you out there? Right, is anybody getting this? Yes. Now think about it. I don't know where you are, but we're all at different places in life. But I know this. If we don't start speaking the word, we're not going to have the victory God has for us. We're not going to possess the promises that he has given us. We're not going to cross that Jordan River. We're not going to walk in that Canaan land. And we're not going to drink that milk and eat that honey. Yeah. Come on. Hallelujah. Turn over to Psalm 71. Real quickly, I'll give you a couple verses here. And here it's talking about conflict, if you want to know the truth. The context, this Psalm 71, verse 24, it says this. It says, my tongue also shall talk. Everybody say talk. All right. Shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Enemies and opposition. The way you overcome enemies and opposition is to talk God's word all day long. The word talk there is the same word translated meditate. Joshua 1:8 and Psalms 1 verse 2. Same word. So if we're going to meditate on the word, we're going to talk the word. That's what he's talking about. If we're going to be like a tree planted by rivers of water, brings forth its fruit in the season, and whatever we do prospers, then we're going to have to talk the word. if we're going to have success and we're going to go over in life and we're going to take the promises of God, we're going to have to talk the word. And here, if we're going to overcome opposition, those that seek your hurt, has anybody ever sought your hurt? You ever had any enemies? Anybody against you? Anybody said anything bad about you? I'll tell you how you overcome it. Just talk the word. Just say what God says. Well, they said that I was this, and they said well, I was that, and they said, well, it doesn't matter what they say. All matters what I say. Y'all out there? Yeah, but did you hear what they said? Doesn't matter what they say. Listen, my future's determined by what I say, not by what they say. God bless them. I'm praying for them. I don't hold anything against them, but I am going forward. Hallelujah. I am blessed and cannot be cursed. I'm too blessed to be stressed and too anointed to be disappointed. I've been blessed by the best. Hallelujah. Woo! Are you with me? God's word has something to say about me, and that's what I say. Yeah. Hey, did you hear what they said about you? Well, I don't care what they said. Did you hear what God said about me? That's what I'm going to say. Amen? In doing that, I'm going to succeed and go over. Hallelujah. Is this helping anybody? Okay. I want to encourage you. We hear all gloom, doom, and destruction here about our country and the way it's going. You know, every time you turn TV on, it's Obamacare. We got problems with Obamacare. We got problems with Obamacare. Well, I know there's problems up there. There's lots of problems. But I know one thing. My God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, they're going to start taxing all your investments. They're going to start taxing all your retirement. So, well, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do. I just know that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not lack. I know that the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. I don't know what's going on in the government. I can't control all that stuff. I vote when it's time to vote, and I pray for my leaders. But whatever happens up there doesn't change the fact that he daily loads me with his benefits, that he delights in my prosperity. Hallelujah, somebody. If I give, it's going to be given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give to my bosom? For the way I give, the measure I give with is the same measure going to come back to me. That's what God says, and I believe what God says. I don't know what the world's doing. I don't know what the government's doing. I don't know what kind of programs they're going to institute. I don't know what the future holds. But I know that if I bring my tithe into the storehouse and prove God that he will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing to me that I don't have room to receive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he will rebuke the devourer for my sakes, and I will be called a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. That's what God says, and that's what I believe. Hallelujah. Are you with me?